do these names have in common? Baxter, Curtin, Cocos and Christmas Islands, Woomera, Yonga Hills, Maribyrnong and Port Hedland. Well, they are names of some of the 24 immigration detention centres around Australia and offshore. Half of these centres have closed. Some have been more controversial and the scene of more flashpoints than others. In some of those centres, there were children detained, including three kids held for 4 years. For the first time, data from the National Archives has been analysed over 25 years and successive government policies as to whether 9,000 detained children received an adequate education. The Department of Home Affairs granted educator Dr. Sean Frakia access to Immigration Detention Centre records from 1989 to 2015, and he found that children were given limited schooling.
They were denied effectively because they weren't given education that was commensurate with similar children in the Australian community. And this does not often occur in Australia, where you have a large group of children that are denied their right to education.
What kind of education did they actually get while in detention?
Well, what my research identified was that the education they got in detention, it varied and fluctuated. So there wasn't consistent education according to a compulsory school curriculum. And in a word, across those years, I would describe, based on the research findings, the education that many children received as akin to a creche. And in fact, many children identified that the education was worse than the countries they had fled from. And in some cases, those countries were really down the bottom of world educational rankings.
And does the lack of education provided to children in immigration detention contravene any particular human rights or international legislation, Dr. Frakia?
Australia's international commitments, they're fairly clear, and what they emphasise is the importance of education for all children living in Australia, regardless of where they are, where they come from, or how long they've been in Australia. And what really shocked me that children could be denied their right to education at the same time as Australia was signing up to these international protections and commitments. And in my research, I identified 9 significant international protections that were signed up to, that were related to this period where we denied children education.
Now, this stretches across successive governments. This is not one side of politics, is it?
That's correct. And that's something I want to emphasise, that this stretched across, both sides of politics for a very long time.
So you were also quite interested to look at the data that came out of the Hawke-Keating eras, because this had not been explored before.
That's correct. So what my research shows is that a system of depriving children of education actually was established and up and running and, I guess, in many senses, well entrenched under the Hawke government from an early stage. So the sources of data that I obtained through this research identified that approximately 9,000 children were denied their right to education over this period.
Well, that's now 9,000 adults, isn't it, Sean, who are perhaps noticing a gap in their education?
That's quite correct. Many of these children ended up in Australia as genuine refugees. And many have contacted me since my research was released and told me how valuable and useful it is as a resource for them to give now to their children and the children of their children. One of the outcomes, I think, is that more of this history should and can be known by not only those affected, such as the children who are now adults, but also by Australians in general.
What have they told you subsequently about how that has affected them?
Well, one of the first things they told me is they said, Dr. Frakia, you didn't really do a history. This wasn't a history because this was a living thing for us, and that this still has effects for them as we speak. And that was the thing that they really impressed upon me, that I had thought I'd done this historical account, but they always picked me up on that and told me that this was a thing that is affecting their lives now. And when you miss some early years of education, it leaves a legacy of being behind or at a disadvantage throughout your whole education. And for many of these children who are now adults and have approached me, that has been pretty obvious to me, whether it's in terms of employment prospects, whether it's in the sense of mastery that we all normally get from education. So it's affected them in many and varied ways.
Where will your research go now, Sean?
I hope that some of the lessons that I've identified in my research can be learnt to ensure this never happens again. That's my main kind of goal with this, is to ensure it never happens again. And one of the lessons I identified was that there were 18 inquiries over that time period that all identified that the education of children needed to be improved, but it wasn't. And so I hope that those sorts of lessons can be learnt going forward.
Dr. Sean Frakia, who did his PhD with the University of Sunshine Coast into the lack of education provided for 9,000 children in Australian immigration detention from 1989 to 2015. Dr. Frakia will be returning to the Kimberley in May to visit the alternative learning school he helped establish in Kununurra in 2015 called Alter One.